seat. If you can just wave your hand, if you can just let him know that you love him. And the song says, more than anything, more than anything. God, our Father, we thank you right now. Would you, dear sir, take notice that your children have risen to their feet, are standing, Lord, to say they love you. Standing because you are worthy of all of our praise. Because you stayed on that cross, the least we can do is stand for you and tell you that we love you. And tell you that we love you more than anything. God, we ask now that you would make your presence obvious in this room. That you would again open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts as fertile ground, ready to receive the rich word of God. Oh God, saturate us, fill us, and there be nothing left to chance. David told us that you caused his cup to run over. Isaiah reminds us that you were that voice that called him. Elijah tells us that you fed him by a brook. Now, God, do these things and others for us, that we would go lacking for no great thing. Draw us in closer, we pray. And then, God, we pray that your words would cascade down upon us. Make us greater. Forgive us, dear sir, of our sins, and just have mercy on us. Deliver us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray just for the sake of preaching that you would give me preaching power. And God, let me preach like I've never preached before. Give me, Lord, this moment that I would maximize your name and someone would cry, what must I do to be saved? Save somebody today in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen. And amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord together again. Come on, bless him. Come on, everybody. Come on, bless him. What a mighty God we serve. Awesome is the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Grab your Bibles very quickly. I don't want to indulge upon your time too much longer. I know that you've got so much to do today. So much to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, you fire up your electronic devices, your tablets, your phones, and Bible apps. Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible today because you couldn't find one to go with your outfit, we've got one sitting in the back of the pew right there in front of you. It goes with every outfit. And it is a New Living Translation Bible. If you'll join us in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to just lift up a few verses for the central focus of preaching. If you'll go to verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. If you have found that place, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. I only hear a few pages turning. I'll give you just a moment. Ephesians 4. In the New Living Translation of the Bible, verse 30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who has identified you as his own. guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of a holy, righteous, loving, and forgiving God. For the sake of the time we have left, I want to lift again verse 30, but I also want to bring in as a come alongside version from the New King James Version. In verse 30, it says, again from the New Living Translation, to remember he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. The come along version in the New King James Version says simply this: it is by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. I want to share with you for a little while, if you don't mind, if you can figure out a way to think of something pleasant and smile. Think of something pleasant and smile. Don't take too long to think of something pleasant, but think of something pleasant and smile. Then look at your neighbor. If you haven't thought of anything, keep it to yourself. Matter of fact, whatever you thought of, keep that to yourself. But smile, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. Deal with your struggles, but don't break the seal. Amen. Deal with your struggles, but don't break the seal. I found myself wrestling between the young preacher that I grew up with and the pastor preacher that I am. Those of you who are discipled with us know that for a lot of years we have always and often used the New Living Translation Bible. The vocabulary, the verbiage, the vernacular of it is very fitting for the times in which we live. The King James Version Bible and the New King James Version Bible were really written at a time when, as we like to call it, and Mrs. Scott can help you with it, the King's English. But none of us from anywhere below Virginia speak the King's English. Amen. The further south you go, the more less English we speak. We tend to abbreviate what we're saying and to make it simple and pleasurable to you in your hearing. Up north, they say store. Down south, we say stow. Up north, it's a door. Down south, it's a dough. Up north, they're preparing to go. Down south, we finna. Okay, so you know it's not the King's English. And so for a lot of years, I have used the New Living Translation. But last week when I was looking to preach today, I found myself wrestling with the Bible I grew up with, which is the King James Version. And this particular verse, this particular pericope, if you will, found its relevance in me by going to the New King James Version and using that portion of the scripture. It is not about being in a wrestling match with hermeneutics or homiletics or the exegetical works. It is simply that this said what I needed to say. And when you're preaching, you need that. And so he says, listen, you were sealed until the day of your redemption. Now, all of us can relate to that. I'm going to hurry along. All of us can relate to that because in the mid-70s toward the 80s, there was a problem with Tylenol. We all remember, those of us who my friend Dr. Corbett, who is a medical doctor, would certainly remember there was a scare. Somebody at the Tylenol company started messing with the medicine. And so companies begin to seal their bottles. They put a little warning on top, says, if seal is broken, do not use. I am afraid that many of us are going to show up before the Lord. And the Father is going to look to the Son and the Son to the Holy Spirit. And they will in unison say, the seal has been broken. We cannot use. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Don't break the seal. Everybody in the church struggles. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a proclivity. Everybody's got a little something that they don't want other somebodies to know they wrestle with. But for God's sake, don't break the seal. Deal with your struggles. Face your demons. Wrestle with them. But whatever you do, don't break the seal. The Bible says that we have a guarantee on our lives. I love this about God. I love it because whenever God issues these types of statements, I feel better. The old church made a song about it. They said, I feel better, so much better. And so it is. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, you know, you all have an opportunity. You're a young church. You've got folk coming and they're joining the church and your church is growing and you have an opportunity. And the greatest opportunity you have, if you go back and look at the initial writings in Ephesus, in the letter to Ephesus church book, Bible book called Ephesians, you will discover that Paul spends a large amount of his time encouraging them to the Christian way of life. Here's why this is important, because whatever thing you're doing, it's because somebody encouraged you to do it. How many of you remember somebody daring you and double dog daring you, and you said, I ain't scared. And that's how some of us ended up smoking, and some of us end up drinking and puff pass and all manner of other things, because somebody said, oh, you scared. You're a mama's boy. You ain't no man. If you're the real man, you go ahead and hit it, and hit it you did. Because you took the dare. You took the dare. But Paul says, I want to encourage you to the Christian way of life, because I know there is competition to do evil. Am I right about it? Someone wiser than I once said that. It takes both of them for either of them to exist. It takes good for evil to exist and evil for good to exist, because there has to be something to compare the other one to. And so he says, listen, beloved of God, you got to be very careful how you live. Right there in the part of verse 30, I'm going to get going now. He says, you got to be very careful how you live. Nudge your neighbor and say, you got to be careful. Let me see if I can get some of y'all to wake up and help me before we get too deep into this thing. When I was a child growing up in the South, I grew up down yonder, and when I was a child growing up in the South, in my mom and dad house, and you know everybody who grew up in the South never had a question as to whose house it was. Every parent in the South would remind you every chance they had that this is my house, and as long as you live in my house, you're going to live by my house. Oh, y'all from the South. Every whether they were late on the mortgage payment or not, it's still my house. And so when I grew up down South, my parents' house, there was something that would, I mean, it was as right as the rain. It was like ducks to water. It was just like turning on the lights and breaking up the roaches prayer meeting. You heard this all the time. That there was something that my mama would say. She said more than my daddy, because you really didn't want my daddy to have said it, but my mama would say it because I'm a child of the 60s.
And if you were a child of the 60s, you heard this speech. Even if you're a child of the 50s, you heard this speech. But my mama would sit us down and she would make this speech. Here's the speech. First of all, before she makes the speech, when I was growing up as a child, you didn't go nowhere too often by yourself. My mama's speech was this: wherever I go, you go. And if I don't go, you don't need to go. Y'all remember that speech? And so on the rare occasions, Audrey, when we would get to go somewhere by ourselves, and I mean unescorted by security details, because if you grew up in the South, everybody older than you works on the security detail. And everybody who older than you, you've been told as a child you got to do what they say. And everybody on the security detail carried at least three things: a belt, a switch, or some other harmful apparatus. Amen. And because they were older than you and you were just a child, they had the authority to beat the out of you anytime they had to. In other words, here was the rule. The rule was wherever you show out, I'll show out. And so here it is. So whenever the rare opportunity came for us to go somewhere by ourselves, and I'm talking about, I'm 14, 15 years old. Mama would sit us on that orange sofa with that plastic on it, stand up in front of us and look at us and say, let me tell you something. I'm going to let you go, but you better not get out there and show your behind and act like you don't have no home training. And then she throw this one in: you better not go out there and embarrass me and your daddy. Me and your daddy work hard for everything in this house. We work hard for them shoes you got. She got this whole speech. I heard this speech. Every time I got to go somewhere by myself, I got the speech. Mama would stand, and then she started feeling good about it. She'd get a little pace with it. I'm going to tell you something. You can mess up this time, and it'll be your. And I'm going to tell you something else. Don't make me have to come down there. Because if I come down there, I ain't sparing nothing. You know, y'all know. Some of y'all look like you got that kind of speech in you. But the rule was the rule. And what I'm telling you now is the same thing my mama was saying all them times on that orange sofa with that plastic that stick to you. It's the same thing Paul is saying in verse 30. Paul is saying you got to be careful how you live. And don't bring sorrow to God. And I tell you the truth, that speech resonated with me. Because every so often when I did go by myself and did have the inclination to do something, I swear I could hear my mama. Michael. Any of y'all ever heard your mama voice and turned around to see if she was there? Any of y'all had a mama who told you, oh, baby, I'm everywhere. Don't you ever think I don't know. I know there were some nosy people who told everything. We had a lady live across the street from us named Miss Shirley Harris. That lady told everything. I know she's dead and sleeping in her grave, but Shirley Harris, you ought to be shaming yourself. Because sometimes, Wanda, she made up stuff. Some of the people she said came in the house didn't come in the house. Some of the stuff she said we were doing, we didn't do it. I think Shirley Harris just didn't like us. My mama would get out of the big old deuce in the quarter, and before my mama could turn the steps, she said, Lois, can I holler at you for a minute, girl? And mama said, I'll be right back. I know where this is going. But Paul says, what I think we ought to be saying to each other, don't bring sorrow. Deal with your struggles, but don't mess up the good name of the Father. You and I have a responsibility to live as the righteousness of God. And the fact of the matter is, whenever we are in a frame or in a place where we need to make a decision, we ought to make the right decision. My grandmother once told us, she said, y'all get more whoopings than Carter got liver pills. That's the sound. You know, I don't know who that Carter fella is. I don't know what the liver pill is supposed to do for you. But that was always the demonstration they used. Now, apparently this guy had a lot of liver pills. But she said, y'all get whoopings because y'all know better and won't do better. And so it is, I find the relation in the Bible where it says we're going to get many stripes. Because some of us know better and won't do better. And then we try to make our struggles our excuse. But he said, no, you can't do that. He says, you need to understand that God has given you, thoroughly equipped you, that you might do every good work. Nudge your neighbor and say, you really ought to change your thing here. You got, listen, let me tell you, the problem with the modern church is we don't mind coming sometimes, but we spend very little time doing all the time. You preaching, Leroy? Thank you. We come and sit up in church, and the way some of y'all give me that signifying look now, that's how we do it. We come and sit here like, he ain't talking to me. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't hang out. But what do you do? You ain't here all the time. We do lock up the place sometime. And the fact of the matter is, what he's saying in Ephesians 4 is that we ought to live our lives in the light. And live our lives in such a way that as we're dealing with our struggles, we don't break our seal. Here's what I know. Paul tells the church, Pastor Corbin, he said, listen, everybody sin. All have sinned. Look at them and say, yep, that's right along through you. Yeah. I mean, look at them. Go and get it out your system because you've been wanting to cut your eyes over there anyway. All have sinned. And look at another name and say, some planning to steal sin. Oh, yeah, some are sitting up here right now saying, you know, when I get out of here, I might have a little time to run by there. Paul said, listen, I know you got struggle. Everybody got struggle. He said, listen, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are wrestling in this warfare because the devil won't leave us alone. And I'll tell you now, if in fact your testimony on this day is the devil don't bother me no more, it's because he know you are already self-checked. The only people the devil don't bother is the people he know he can trust to go and do the doggone thing. So he says, I'm about there. He said, listen, you need to understand that Christian life has to be radically different from your old life. Let me tell you something. You can't keep walking around here talking about how you used to be. And we don't see no used to in you. Everything we see look rather present tense to us. Say, you do know that because you spray air freshener all over you, we can tell you smoke. You do know that everybody put their lottery tickets over the sun visor. You do know that because you got a refrigerator downstairs, we know that's where your stash is. You do know that, right? You do know that peppermints don't conceal everything. Y'all might have quiet. Everybody got something. But what he says to us is we should be different. We can't keep walking around talking about I stood still, surrendered, and submitted to sanctify Jesus. And you don't live like that. You do know that the same person you brought to church is the same person you took to the club. The same people that lifting up and magnifying know how to drop it like it's hot. Don't fool me now. I'm telling you what he says is you can't keep telling me that you have departed when you're still paying rent over there. I stood still, surrendered to the sanctified Holy God, submitted my way. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Paul says we have a responsibility to now be credible witnesses for Jesus Christ. How many of you work in a place where you have to wear a uniform, a shirt, some Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, that little shirt? When people walk in, they know that's where you work at. But how are we going to know you in Christ? And before you say you got a big cross around your neck, let me tell you something. That's a plus sign to some people. That just means you're going to add something else. Am I preaching good right now? He said, listen, you listen, this is what I'm almost there. He said, you've got to walk in the purity of the righteousness of God. And he says, watch this, Dr. Dixon. He says, and whatever you do, don't defile yourself before the world. And for God's sake, don't let the world defile you. See, a whole lot of us are self-inflicted sinners. That yet we want to blame other folk for the infliction. the fact of the matter is every tub still gonna stand on its own bottom. And what the Lord says is, I have expectations placed upon you because I know what I have invested in you. Y'all ain't talking to me. Paul says, you have already been identified. It's right there in the text. Excuse me, I don't like that voice. I don't know where that one come from. It's right there in the text. It's in the text. He said, listen, you have been identified as his own. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Paul says, I told the church at Corinth that there's a predestined will for your life. You cannot spend the rest of your life talking about the plans he has for me and not live according to the plan. See, we like to superficially bless God with social statements that have no significance because our lives are so struggled. Excuse me, I left the word filled out. Filled with struggle. We like to use these social statements that are significant because we have taken certain scriptures and selectively used them to stand upon them that we might sound spiritual. The Lord declares, I'm the head and not the tail. I know the plans I have for you. The Lord's steps, my steps are ordered by the Lord. You say that, but you don't show that. Look at your name and say, how you like me now? Paul said that you have been identified. The old church said that we were bought with a price. You know that old song we sang, says, God, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus, you know, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And that's what he said. He said, you're sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, until the Lord comes back, don't break the seal. And so he tells us, he said, listen, every one of us are expected to live as new converts. Every one of us. Look at your neighbor out the corner of your eye. Don't let them see you looking because they know you're looking for something. But everybody has an expectation upon their life to live as new converts. Everybody has an expectation upon their life to live as new converts. No, everybody won't walk around, but the reverend shouldn't be doing that. The pastor shouldn't be there. The pastor shouldn't go here. The pastor shouldn't talk like that. The pastor's wife shouldn't dress like that. The pastor's children shouldn't act like that. What about your Negroes? You done told my whole family how to live, but I can't even get your children to come to Sunday school. I can't get you to come to communion. You got all of this expectation on my life, but yet you think you just gonna live your life. No, everybody has been placed and identified as new convert candidates, and God ought to get something out of our lives besides lip service. Here it is. He said, I'm gonna hurry. He said, you have been called to this life. And so he said, in order to do that, he said, there are three things that have to happen. I'll hurry along because y'all got to go. He said, there are three things that have to happen. First of all, you got to get rid of that. Get rid of what? Look at verse 22. He said, you got to put off your old self. Deceitful desires, got to get rid of that. You got to stop being led by your emotions and your greed and your selfish indictments. You got to get rid of that. And Hebrew writer letter, he said this. He said, listen, you got to throw off the stuff that so easily gets in our way and slows us down. You know, the old church talk about running the race and 99.5 just won't do and pressing toward, you know, that's why you can't do that because you're carrying too much of that. You got to get rid, nudge your name and say, get rid of that. Some of the stuff that you think and some of the stuff that you desire, some of that stuff you eagerly want to go after, you got to get rid of that. That ain't gonna work. Then the second thing says, he said, when you get rid of that, you gotta get some of this. Some of this, some of what? He says, some righteousness and holiness. See, we don't like that language in the church anymore because we think righteousness hinders us from recklessness. Well, it does. That's why it's called righteousness. And holiness keeps us from being, yeah, that kind of people. The last word is razor, the first word you figured out. He said, listen, you need to get some of this. Let me tell you why our churches cannot perform well, why our churches cannot progress well, why our churches cannot prepare well, is because we don't have none of this. Righteousness is an option. We choose it when it's convenient to us. Righteousness, when somebody done me wrong, I want righteousness. But when I did what I did, you never mind y'all own business. Holiness, we want that on Communion Sunday. We want it when we put on white. We want it when we are showing out. We want it when our cousins come down from their church to see us at our church. We want holiness. We want to make sure we read the scripture that Sunday. We want to lead the prayer, Reverend. We want to be able to be seen as the righteousness of God. But when it's not convenient to us, y'all don't like me. Holiness. He said, get rid of that. Get some of this. And then he said, get real. Because he said, put off falsehood. You ain't got to fake this. It's too easy to do this. It's too easy to be this. It's too easy to live this. If in fact you put off falsehood. Nudge your name, tell them, you ain't fooling nobody. You ain't even fooling you. You know better. Say amen. It ain't like you don't know. He says, put off falsehood. Because God knows if you're real. And an old song, says one we sang back in the church, Jesus is real, real, real. And yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's another one of those southern things talking about, you know. He said, you got to get on with the real deal. In the words of Nike, Peter, just do it. That's what the Lord is saying. Just do it. Why? Because you can do it. How can I do it, Lord? Because I did it. Paul says, in the same way that he died, we die. In the same way he got up, we get up. I tell your neighbor, I think I can do that. Because he said, watch what Paul now. I'm going. Now I got to go. Paul said, he said, of all the things I have come to engage upon in my life, the only thing that really matters to me is to know the power of resurrection in Christ Jesus. He said, because everything else ain't going to last no how. So what I really want to do is make sure I got my ducks in a row. He said, what I really want to do is make sure that I got rid of that. He want to make sure I got some of that and that I got real with God. And so he said, listen, I reckon by faith this ought to be true because I let my old self die and my new self came alive. Oh God, I feel my help. Now come here, Patty. Patty says, I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes, because the reality for us is that if we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, we can enjoy the grace of the Holy Spirit. What he tells us is, listen, you got to make sure that even though you're struggling, you don't break your seal. He said, listen, you got to remember that no matter what happens to you, here's the songwriter's version. He said, listen, each victory will help you some other to win. But if you ain't trying to win, you're going to lose all the time. Look at your name and say, you got to win one sometime. You got to understand, beloved of God, that what he's trying to tell us is that if you put off the old man, can I preach right long through here for a minute? I'm going to hurry, but I declare this is good for you. He said, if you put off the old man, why do you say that, Paul? He said, because God has already done his part. You carry around excess baggage that you don't need. You're living in a place of shadows when you ought to be living in the light. You remember that song we used to sing, walk in the light, the beautiful light, shine all around us. Y'all don't know them kind of song no more. But he said, listen, God has already accomplished everything on our behalf. I feel my help coming. He said, what you need to do now is go ahead and admit that you have a struggle, but go ahead and acclimate your life to life in Christ Jesus. He said, you've got to become models of spiritual and sanctified maturity. You got to be like Peter and John when they stood before that beggar and be able to declare to every person you meet, look on us. Don't look at me because I got my whip throat and fried and dyed to the side. Don't look on us because I got on this Louis Vuitton outfit, but look on me because I have the body of Christ. Look on me because I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Look on me because I walk like him and I talk like him. He said, but you've got to become models of spirituality and you've got to learn how to step in your sanctification. And what does he say do? He said, well, here is something that you need to get rid of. Can I preach just a little while longer? He said, you got to get rid of all bitterness. Why? Because you feel better. You got to get rid of anger and rage and harsh words. You feel better. He said, you got to remember to get rid of slander and all types of evil behavior because you feel better. He said, you got to learn how to love folk. He said, listen, when you get rid of that, instead do this. And learn your name and say, do this. You got to learn how to be kind to each other. You got to learn how to be tenderhearted and forgive one another. You got to listen. Some of y'all might need to tweet somebody right now and tell them, I'm so sorry for holding a grudge because I should have let that thing go a whole long time ago. You got to be tenderhearted. You got to learn how to have compassion for people. You got to learn how to forgive folk. Even if you can't remember what they did, that means it's been long since due. You should have let it go. He said, but you'll feel better. Look at your name and say, I'm just trying to feel better. There are some things that have happened in my life that have gotten me down, but I'm trying to feel better. There's some situations I got caught up in that I need to do like Jesus told Lazarus, loose him and let it go. I'm just trying to feel better. There are some grave clothes I've been wearing. I need to strip them off so I can feel better. There's some weights that's been holding me down. I'm trying to get rid of it so I can feel better. There's some shackles been on my feet. I need to bust loose so I can feel better. There's some thing that's been in my head. I need to clear my mind so I can feel better. There's some stuff I've been doing that I need to stop doing so I can feel better. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to feel better. I'm trying to make sure that I find the strength that's in my struggle. I'm trying to make sure that as God be lifted up, that he'll lift me up too. I'm trying to get to the point where what God has for me has become me. Look at another name and say, baby, you got to excuse me because right now I just want to feel better. I want to be able to do whatever I got to do so I can feel better. That's why grandma was right when she said, he walks with me. He talks with me. He told me I was his own. Some folk don't like you no more. Some folk don't call you no more. That's all right, because as long as I got Jesus, as long as I got Jesus, as long as I got Jesus, I think everything gonna be all right. I believe that there's a bright side somewhere. Don't you ever give up. Don't you rest until you find it. There's a bright side somewhere. Look at your name and say, excuse me, but I'm feeling like going higher because the Lord has called me to higher living. He's called me to love my neighbor. He's called me to bless my children. He's called me to bless my pastor. He's called me to go to church school. He's called me to present my tithe. He's calling me. And when he calls me, I'm going to answer him. When he calls me, I believe that when he calls me, it's to higher living. Is there anybody here that wants to go higher? Is there anybody here tired of living in the low rent district? Can I call George Jefferson to church? George Jefferson said, listen to me, Weezy. We're moving on up to the east side, to the deluxe apartment in the sky. He said, come on with me. Going up a little higher. Look at your name and say, excuse me, but I'm going higher. I'm going to walk higher. I'm going to praise higher. I'm going to serve higher. I'm going to give higher. I'm going higher, higher, higher. This is what the old church said. Every round goes just a little bit higher. There's an old song we said that we're marching as to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Anybody want to go there? But you can't go yet. Don't go till I go. Don't sing till I sing. Wait on me just a little while. I'm bringing up the rear. I hear David said, he surrounds me. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'm feeling all right. Nudge your neighbor, say, neighbor, I ain't scared now. My enemies are all around me, but the God I serve, I say, the God I serve, he watches over me. Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. I pray the Lord. Anybody pray the Lord my soul to take. Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. He died. I
said he died. They stretched him wide, put nails in his hand, put a crown on his head, stretched him wide, pierced his side, buried him in a borrowed tomb. But they made a mistake. They walked away early. They left too early. Nudge your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't leave early. Stay right there at the foot of the cross. I know it's Friday and things look bad, but stay right there. I know things look bad. They say he died and it doesn't look good. They put him in the tomb, sealed up the tomb, but tell your neighbor, stay right there, because a bad Friday is a setup for a good Sunday. Cause early, 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 one Sunday morning, didn't he rise? Didn't he rise? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I know it's tough. I know you're tired. I know you're weak. I know you're weary. Feel like giving up. But early, 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 you will rise. Won't you rise? Be of good courage. The Lord heareth you. He's calling your name. I said he's calling your name. And when he calls, I will answer. Anybody gonna answer? Can you say yeah? Do you want to be there? Do you want to be there? Grandma said, when we've been there 10,000 years, that ain't nothing, neighbor. 10,000 years, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than before. Can you say yeah? Say sweeter, say sweeter, say sweeter. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sealed, and I'm not going to break it. I may mess up, but I'm not going to break it. I feel my James Cleveland spirit. I don't feel no ways tired. I come this far. Look at somebody and tell them, I've come a long way. You had seen me 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't recognize me. I've come a long way. The old church would put it this way, Doris, through many dangers, toils and snares. I've already come. Slap somebody a high five and tell them, been there, done that. You ain't seen half the hell I seen. But the God I serve is a strong deliverer. He's a very present help. You talking about a bridge over your troubled waters. I felt like sometimes I was on the Titanic. You talking about helping to time the storm. I felt like I lived in tornadoes. But the God I serve didn't break my seal. He calls me his own. Because I got rid of that. Got me some of this. And I got real. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And again, Grandma then was right when they sang that old song. I am redeemed. Bought with a price. Jesus, I say, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll go through my struggles. I'm not going to break that seal. The devil is still a liar. I said the devil is still a liar. We used to come to church with the intention of becoming the church. I don't know what happened to us when we start giving up so easily. We start getting to the point where we didn't want nobody to convict us, confront us.
Nobody to challenge us. Oh, preacher, every time he get up there, here he go again. Well, who else is going to tell you the truth about Jesus? You really don't think your bid-wish partner is concerned about Jesus. They want to know we're going to run this Boston. That's all they care about. You really think your sorority or your fraternity is concerned about salvation? Paul said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach if they have not been called? And they're not going to stand flat-footed and declare, we might as well close up the church. You need to get rid of that. You need to come get some of this. And you need to get real. Jesus didn't pass out at Calvary. He died. Because the wages of sin is still death. And can I tell you something with your sophisticated self? You're still alive, aren't you? It's obvious that he paid for you. I said, you're still alive, aren't you? It's obvious that he has paid for you. Tired of running a daycare. Time for us to be a church. Folks sitting up in the church like they scot-free of anything. Teflon can't be touched by nothing. Some of us just as well to bring our own undertakers with us because we're dead already. Nothing moves us. Choir can sing every selection Mahalia Jackson ever wrote. Every James Cleveland, Kirk Franklin, they can sing all of them, and some of us ain't gonna never move.
Don't sound like that on the radio.
We ain't playing no radio. We're ministering in the house of God. Preacher can preach. It doesn't matter who preach. What? You think everybody's speaking tongues? He said, listen, you're going to struggle. Everybody struggles. Can I get you to be honest? I know y'all ready to go. Can I get you to be honest? Just for 15 seconds. All I need is 15 seconds of honesty. If you are standing in this place and you have to deal with your struggles, would you just wave at me, please? Thank you. That's all I needed. My consolation and comfort to you is that you've been sealed. Y'all don't know where to shout. Read the text. The text says, you are guaranteed until the day of redemption. Why? Because you've been sealed. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. There's a mindset. There's a mentality that has to happen in every people of God. What is the mindset? That you have the mind of Christ and that you are certain of everything he says. Be sure of this, is what he says. And then we live our life under the glorious majesty of our King. When you know your King has covered you, you live under his sovereign rule. You know that nothing shall destroy us. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. He rules. He regulates. He restores. He revives. He does all that God stuff. Nudge somebody. Tell him, let him do some of that God stuff in your life. Let him restore you. Let him do like David said, give me back my joy. Anybody just want to be happy again? I just want my Cheshire Cat spirit back. I grin. Mom say, well, you always grinning because I'm always happy. Let's stand on our feet together. I'm gonna let you go. Some of y'all look tired. You've been sealed. You know, we have communion here, sis, and we got them little cute communion cups, you know, all in ones. And sometimes some of them, you know, been sealed a little too tight for some folk. You know, some folk ain't got fingernails and stuff. And I watch sometimes as pastor when folk are struggling trying to get, but they've been sealed for a reason. Keep contaminants out and to keep freshness and light. And so I watch folk. But nobody don't want one of them things that ain't sealed. You hand somebody's out, they say, no, they put that man, get a nut. That's another southern word for an additional item, nothing. And so same thing applies with aspirin bottles and medication. You know, they put them little tops on. Now Aleve and Advil done got slick. They got now what they call an arthritis cap. Y'all seen those? Anybody can open them. That's another southern word for more than one person, them, N-E-M. But so I'm thinking to myself, well, what happened to the law that said these things have to be sealed, so the childproof thing? But everybody in this room know childproof can be adultproof too. Anybody ever had one you couldn't get open? You said to yourself, now what in the world going on here? Then you got to get your grandson. Come here, baby, open this here for grandmama. And they just go pop, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about opening up the pickle jar. I'm talking about my medicine. And some of y'all get slick and say, I got a trick for this. Once I get it open, I ain't putting it back in this. That's all right, you know, you got to hide it from kids. But here's my point. Sealed is sealed. Two things that you ought to shout about. One, nothing can get in. And you ought not be trying to get out. And he said, you're guaranteed. Watch this now, because the Lord has already identified you. Ooh, I could have shouted right there again. I felt that one coming, but I'm going to let it go. He's already identified you. Y'all missed it. Okay, let me tell you why. The Corinthian letter says, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then John said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But this is our confidence. When he appears, we shall look like him. That's why he can identify us. He can say, that's mine. Every mama knows that if your child is in a room with 50 children and your baby holler, you can say, oh, that's mine right there. 50 younger than that screaming, mama, mama. And you say, that's mine. And you do like every other child. Let me get on in here because that thing can show out. But we've already been identified. And so, don't break that seal. Just song time. I hear you knocking, but you can't get. Woo-hoo. Okay, that's enough. That's how I feel about it. The devil always knocking. Anybody know the devil always knocking? Come on, don't fool me. That's going to be your gospel song selection on the way home. Every time the devil get knocking, just tell him, I hear you knocking, but you can't. Woo-hoo. All right, thank you. Listen, I got to let y'all go. I'm telling you now, you've been identified. But if you lack the blessed assurance of knowing, then you ought to come give your life to Christ. I would that no man perish. That's what he said. You got some friends and neighbors that want you to go to hell, but Jesus don't. And they don't mind telling you either. But Jesus said, I don't want that to happen. And then he says, I got plans for you. Plans that's going to make you better, make you faster and stronger. Y'all remember the Bionic Man with Steve Austin and Oscar Goldman? He said, we can make him faster, stronger, better. That's how God wants us. God wants us to be bionic. Faster, stronger, better. Y'all remember when he used to come on, Steve Austin, and then he running 60 miles an hour across the field. Well, first of all, if you run 60 miles an hour, you got to stop from running 60 miles an hour.
I always thought about that. But God wants to make you better. You've been identified. Here's what the word says. We are the elect of God. A chosen generation. Designed to be peculiar. Sometimes just ain't that peculiar. Peculiar as can be. Nudge your name and say, he was talking about me. A peculiar people. So next time somebody says, y'all church folk act funny, you can say, I know that's right. That word says I'm peculiar. So if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come today? I've taken up too much of your time. Would you come today? Don't leave here. Don't say I'm going home and think about it. Ain't nothing to think about. You on Let's Make a Deal. You don't see none of people out there telling Wayne Brady, well, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll come back next Sunday and let you know my decision. They don't know Jeopardy. You don't get but so many seconds on Jeopardy. You got to make a decision. Now, in the day that you hear his voice. Now, right now, make up your mind. Okay, everybody's in the room. Here's the decision. That you love the Lord. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, died for your sins, and say yes to him. You're not joining my church. I don't have a church. I don't have anything, to be honest with you. Everything I have is about stewardship. I don't own nothing. That's what I told the IRS. I don't own nothing. I'm a steward. Everything belongs to God. I told them, y'all want to build somebody, build God. They didn't go for it, Dr. Corbin. They didn't. I'm a steward. He just told me to watch over this stuff till he comes. They said, no, we're going to have to get the tax. That's okay. But here's what I'm telling you. You identified. Just say yes. Dr. Corbin, it ain't his church. It's not these preachers' church. It's God's church. This is the body of Christ. This is what he did for you. So if you're here, so nobody's moving. So I think everybody's telling me something. One of two things is being said. Us just ready to go. Or us already saved. Us is grandma's way of talking about the collective. Okay. So if everybody in the room has already accepted the salvation of Jesus Christ, just wave at me. Okay. I couldn't see over here. Did everybody over here wave? I need a wave captain. Make sure everybody wave. Okay, good. Could you do me a favor? If we all saved, and this is what y'all said, then I expect that we shall now walk in the newness of life. I'm expecting greater things. I'll be coming down to Alabama to check on y'all sisters to see how it's going, but I'm expecting greater things. Y'all said you're saved. Don't want no foolishness, no shenanigans. As my great grandma said, all that hubbub. I don't even know what hubbub is. Anybody know what? Is there somebody when we get to heaven going to explain some of those things they told us? I hope so, because I'm going to ask some questions about some of the things they said. I believe they made them up as they went along. Would you grab your neighbor's hand that's closest to you? Grab your neighbor's hand that's closest to you. Squeeze that hand. This is a sign of life, of strength, a sign of solidarity. Rarely would we hold hands with people as strangers. In fact, the Bible tells us that. The Bible says, you know, two walking together, lest they agree, going to have some problems. And so when we grab somebody's hand, oftentimes, you may not pay attention to that, but you'll notice it after I said, generally, before we ever grab anybody's hand, we look at their face. We do it in a glance. You know, we want to see who that is. We want to make sure that we're not signing on with the wrong folks. Some of us, even married to them people, we look at them still, saying, well, can I grab somebody? No, I'm serious. You do it. It's really a subconscious thing because you're trying to establish familiarity. Because if it's somebody that's, you know, you be like, I don't know, we're going to mess this thing up. And it goes back to that as touching and agreeing. If somebody ain't going to agree with you, what are we going to touch for? So when we hold hands, it means something. So the hand that you're holding, a little squeeze, is a sign of life, strength, some solidarity. But it also says that I will stand in your struggle for now. Because when you let go, you're going to depart. But it's really saying, I will stand in your struggle for now. Because I'm convinced if you're walking in a room and a stranger begins to fall, we all instinctively try to reach out and catch them. And that's a stranger. You've been worshiping with this person for the last couple of hours. Some of y'all move, but you've been there. You mean you have difficulty now holding their hand? No. We're in a safe house. I really believe that the sanctuary is a safe house. When we come in here, it's all right. You know, folk don't do stuff in here like they do out there. Yeah, you better not either. Because just a little talk with Jesus goes a lot of ways. I don't think I won't tell my big brother on you. Lord, you see how this disciple next to me acting. Rebuke him, Jesus. Hit him precisely with a bolt of lightning. Don't let it spread to my way, Lord. You know. So I'm telling you today that this hand you're holding needs some help in their struggle. All have sinned and come a little short. But can I get you to declare within your spirit, I just want to do better. But I don't want to leave here today out of the fellowship of my identification. God, you've chosen me. You picked me for a reason. You see something in me that my husband or my wife doesn't even see. My children don't see it. My mom and daddy didn't see it. How many of you have already identified that you've surprised some people with your living? And you ain't finished yet. So squeeze it one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children have reached out to grab a hand today. And what they're asking is simply this. It's not about a car or a house. It's not about a business. It's not about any of those things. In this moment that we have, here is what we're asking. Thy will be done. Whatever you have for this sister or this brother, my husband, my wife, if I'm holding the hand of that person, my family member, even this stranger, I'm not going to ask you about the x-ray. I'm not going to ask you about the prescription. I'm not going to ask you about the pain, the broken marriage, the termination, the layoff. I'm just saying today, while I can hold them in this struggle, thy will be done. And it covers everything. You count the hairs on our head. You know the grains of sand in the earth. What's my little deal? When you really think about it, you're sovereign. And we know that nothing is impossible for our God. And as long as we believe, thy will be done. For my neighbor, my friend, thy will be done. Give them, Lord, what you desire for them, from them, because you are sovereign. Nothing is impossible. That healing, that deliverance, that peace, those traveling mercies, the new life beginning, thy will be done. You have allowed us to live until the 18th day of October in 2015 for the purpose of a greater glory. Oh, Lord, after all we've been through, who wouldn't shout themselves on a little further for all the storms and setbacks and lies and struggles, and I made it? Oh, Lord. Father, if you don't mind, in the words of Jed Clampett, we dog it. Look what God has done. You ain't seen nothing yet, because the best is yet to come. God, you brought me off my sick bed. You kept me when my money was short. You secured me when the enemy came after me. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Thy will be done. And God, because you got so much in store, I don't even know really what to start to ask for. So I'm just going to say, thy will be done. from a church, from a pastor, from a husband, from a sister, my brother, thy will be done. And God, I'm going to be all right. The writer said that weeping may endure for the night, but I know sure enough my joy. In fact, God, I think my joy is on the red eye. It's going to get here early. I don't think it's going to take all day long. My joy is already. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, as we prepare to turn from this place, but not your presence, give us, Lord, all those things that are so beneficial to safe travel and so beneficial to a good family evening of fellowship. Bless food and bless friends and family and strangers. Some of our friends and families have already gotten on the road and traveling. They're flying, riding the train, on the bus, in the van, in the car, Cadillac, Mercedes, and Volkswagen. But get them on home, Lord. As Grandma used to say, don't let the man pull them down, Lord. Just let them get on home. And when they get home, Lord, and step on that ground, let them shout. Let them shout and let the neighbors know I'm here, because here is where he told me to be. Thank you, Jesus. How much we love you, we can never say, but we're going to show enough, keep telling you we love you in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said again, amen, amen, and amen. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you buy me dinner, I'll show eat it. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you again real soon.